You're listening to the Food Talk Show. Hello, hello, hello. My name is Susie Warren-Smith and I'm here with my co-presenter, AJ.
Hello.
AJ Sharp.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Very, very good. I've just come back from Vietnam.
Oh, how was that?
They make good coffee.
Ah, yes, yes, I have heard this.
They make very good coffee. Therefore, I decided I needed Ashley Palmer-Watts to come and talk me through what makes a good coffee and what doesn't make a good coffee.
Nice.
And how we should be drinking it. And also Will Little of, funnily enough, Little's Coffee. Don't know where you got that name from. Because you've already made some coffee for us, Ash, I'm going to go straight in. You've just brewed us some coffee there. Just tell us, I know you're very experienced in this and we will talk a little bit about your company. Explain to me, what makes a good coffee? Is it a combination of things? Is it just the ingredients?
Well, I think from our point of view, it's the quality of the ingredients. Treated in the right way, protected in the right way. And then I guess what makes a good coffee is really relatable to the end user. So it's how they drink, the style in which they love their coffee. And it's trying to marry those two things together, make it really easy for people to.
So there's not a sort of snobby thing about this is how you should drink it.
No, not from our point of view, but yeah. there is a lot of that around. You know, you should. I know we're going to drink ours black today, but if you want to put sugar in it, that's fine. If you want to put milk in it, that's fine. How you drink is how you drink, really.
Yeah. Just can we have a quick taste of your first one, which is a good.
Yeah,
what
sure.
What have you just made? So obviously this is the Artisan Coffee Co, which is Ashley's company, which we'll talk about in a minute. So should I have a smell first, do you think?
Yeah, have a little smell. So this one, we're going to start off with the one called the Smart Cookie.
The Smart Cookie? Yeah. You think you're talking about me then?
Now, this coffee is light and fragrant and elegant. It's quite more sort of that caramelised sort of milk chocolate, a little bit of nibbed cocoa and sort of biscuity kind of notes, all natural in the blend. And then the chocolate we've got with it is caramelised white chocolate, nibbed cocoa and salted biscuit.
Ooh.
So this is quite a lighter style. This is our lightest style of coffee. So I thought we'd start there and then get progressively.
Yeah. So it's not actually deep, deep black at all, is it? It's slightly, what's the word?
Rich brown.
Yeah, yes. Rich brown.
It's kind of we've made some cafetiere coffee here.
Oh,
yeah. You can see light through it, can't you? There's a translucence to it.
Yeah.
Now, what do you? You're the taste expert.
I like it. It's got a kick.
It's not. You know, sometimes it's really bitter, which I can't stand. I will never go to Starbucks in my life. Nobody will ever see me in there because I just find it. Really
it is
bitter.
Extremely bitter. I always wonder if they've cleaned off the machine properly.
Well, I think the big one there is with really poor quality beans, you don't really have many options for it to really show its complexity and look, the characterful notes that you have within the coffee. So your only option is to roast it dark. Mm. You get really burnt, bitter, ashy notes, woody, burnt rubber, acrid, and that real sort of bitterness that you just, you've always got to correct it. And that, to be fair, that's what most people do at home at the moment, I think, is they buy a product, they don't really know where to go, and they spend their life correcting the product.
It's a really good way of putting it. I hadn't thought of that. So you will add sugar or you will add milk, because actually it's not really as you want it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if I said to you, you can buy one wine for the rest of the year.
Oh, God, that would be really
stupid. That might be a problem anyway, right? But if you had to put lemonade and fruit juice in it to make it taste good, would you do that? Would you continue to buy the same wine?
That's a good point, actually.
But we think of coffee differently, right?
Yeah.
And it's such an elitist... an elitist talking point from a coffee industry point of view that I genuinely believe a lot of people don't understand what they're being told about varietal, altitude, country, the process. You do get little flavour notes on a lot of marketing, but a lot of people are quite scared by it, just like wine.
Yeah,
I've actually wanted to just interject there because I completely agree, and I think is it partly the fact that we've failed as an industry to agree on a language that's universal in coffee.
Vocabulary.
Because in wine, and wine that exists. You look on any supermarket wine label and there's some commonalities of the way they describe things. Whereas in coffee, strength scales 1 minute and then sort of marketing spiel the next minute. It's very difficult to navigate.
Can
that.
I also ask, Ash, you've made it in a cafetiere.
Yeah.
Why is that important?
It's just the one method I use today. I mean, we do everything from whole bean through to ground sachet. So this is what we've used today. So it's 30 grams of coffee,
yeah,
ground perfectly for a cafetiere, 500 mils of water, job done. But it's sealed in there, you see. So you don't have to worry about
perfect.
That. Yeah, it'll be perfect every time you open the sachets, yeah, rather than a big bag all going stale and, yeah, losing lots of aroma. We do have coffee bags and pods as well. So we do all different types.
Yeah. But you prefer cafetiere?
Me personally, at home, I prefer a pour over. But I also love my espresso machine as well. So, yeah, depends how much time I've got.
Yeah.
You know.
So I was just talking before we came on about going to Vietnam, and the coffee there, it's like you stand a spoon up in it and you've still got all the grains in there. Oh, God, I love that. Give your body a right old clean out, I think. But one interesting thing is they have sort of condensed milk.
Oh, really?
To
quite sweet.
Sweeten it, yeah. So you just put a tiny bit in. And because it's so thick, it like blobs to the bottom.
Right.
And you give it a little stir. Oh, God, it's addictive. It's absolutely fabulous, yeah.
So this next one we've got here is called the Genius, which is, we call it wondrously complex. And so it's dark chocolate, malty.
It's very malty.
It's quite wintry kind of blend, which is how I imagine drinking it. But that's my sort of...
That's my type of coffee, that is.
Yeah, with a little bit of pecan and raisin. And
yeah, I like the nutty malty.
It reminds me of dark beer, of man's
brown
ale.
Exactly.
Exactly what it reminds me of.
Exactly, you know how much I like dark beer. So that's... See, I'm nothing if not consistent.
You are consistent.
I really like that. I would probably have it a little bit stronger, actually.
Would you?
Oh, I'd have a bit of a hit, yeah.
I think the second one's my favourite so far.
That's what I'm saying.
I like it more than the first.
Yeah. But
what's the blend?
Well, that's our secret kind of recipe.
You're not gonna get to know about that.
But I think what's really important here is we've got six characters that span pretty much everyone's taste and flavour.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do tastings with people, I say to them, you know, I'm expecting you not to like every coffee.
Yeah.
Because it's not what you recognise as coffee where you are coming from your base that you drink normally. Mm. But then your base will change and you will evolve over time, like our wine and our gin and our food tastes evolve. So I start off with people. This is pretty common. I'd say 9 out of 10 say, I can't taste the difference between different coffees. By the end of 20 minutes, when we've gone round the six,
I can tell.
I say, well, which ones do you gravitate to? And they say, well, I would drink that one in the morning and I'd probably drink that one in the afternoon. And you go... Wow, 20 minutes ago we were
you
here.
Said.
Now you're making an emotional choice on how you are likely to be feeling and what you're needing, linking that to taste and flavour and saying, well, actually, I'd have that in the afternoon. Yeah, I think you start to really find your preference in style. In no different than wine. You know, some people love Chardonnay, some people love a Sauvignon Blanc. So it's kind of that...
You find it, don't you?
You
eventually.
Find it as you start building up your catalogue and your memory of taste and flavour. And go from there.
So what have we got?
What's
on this one?
Yeah.
So this third one is called the Enigma. So this is dark chocolatey, think cooked red fruits, like cooked plum crumble. A little bit more alive than the previous two in terms of its fine acidity on the end. But none of these are mega challenging. They're all approachable, but in very different sort of genres or styles.
I've got a tobacco-y note.
I was going to say that. I've got quite roasty, tobacco-y.
Woody, tobacco-y. In fact,
in a nice way.
When Ashley was brewing the coffee and
you
I left the studio and came back in, I got a real smell of, oh, someone's just had a cigarette. And it's not, of course, it wasn't that smell. As soon as I breathed again, actually, it was that tobacco-y smell that's much more woody and rich.
Mm. Very nice. Any thoughts from you, Will, on that? And any three of those that are your particular favourite?
I like the middle one. The first one is probably down my lane as a consumer, just as a sort of V60 sort of guy at home. But I think that middle one was really interesting. It had some, like you say, more complexity.
Love that.
Depending on what the blend is.
And what's that one called again?
The Genius. What one person likes is going to be different than the next.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the beauty of putting six different blends in front of people. Hopefully, really easy to find what they are most looking for in a coffee right now.
Yeah, but Ash, you can only do that if they're all of the same quality. So you know, you guys are spending a lot of time getting it right. And then amongst that quality choice, if you like. You can then find where you sit. Before we go on to taste some of Will's coffee, just tell us a little bit about the Artisan Coffee Company, because you've got a really interesting team, haven't you, behind this.
Yeah, so I'm actually a chef, and I've worked with Heston Blumenthal for just over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up running all the restaurants, opening all the different concepts. Had my own restaurant in London where we had 2 Michelin stars. And coffee was a real game changer when I went to Australia in 2014.
Big coffee culture.
Oh, massive. Amazing. Yeah. And I worked with one of the biggest pioneers over there in that sort of, in the nerdy end of the market.
Yeah.
Who was that?
It was Nolan from Proud Mary. And he installed a barista at the Fat Duck when we opened for 6 months there. And we built this amazing coffee program. And then that really sort of changed our whole world when we came back to the UK. We kicked all our other coffee companies out and we brought in, you know, the new era of coffee for us. And so ever since then, I've been, you know, I am the coffee nerd. I love all of the technology and the sort of precision.
It's like blending wine or blending.
It's
incredibly technical.
But then I think on the flip side, then you can bring yourself down with it. If you go from a 3 Michelin star restaurant serving some of the most progressive food in the world at that time to making the best fish and chips at an airport restaurant.
But one question for me, AJ, is I go to a restaurant, spend a lot of money, have a beautiful meal. When it comes to coffee, all I want to do is give you the bill and get rid of you, right?
Yep.
Coffee has got amazing ritual around it. You could have a great coffee menu.
Yep.
Get somebody to spend £5 or £6 with quite a high margin. Why don't any restaurants do that? Or tea to end the meal. Another classic, you know, ceremonial end to the thing. I don't understand it at all.
Well, tea exists quite heavily in a lot of restaurants. You'll quite commonly get 5, 6, maybe more teas. When it comes to coffee, there's just one coffee.
I know, it's ending the meal. It's like you could do some really interesting stuff just to finish off here.
But I think this is where tea is so far more on a level with people than coffee is. So if we can teach staff to talk about 2 different coffees, 2 different styles, what they're going to feel like, what they're going to taste like, quite easily, that you don't have to be an expert to learn it and you don't have to be an expert to pass it on to the customer. That then becomes really easy. At the moment, it's too difficult. It's a name no one's ever heard of. It's a farm no one knows where it is. Yeah. It's an altitude. I don't know what that means for the coffee. It's a varietal and a process. I have no idea. So people just
missing a trick, though. Really, you know, missing a trick.
I'm scared of this, and I'm not going to venture down that thing.
Yeah, really, really missing a trick. Right, over to you, Will. Now, you obviously do coffee in the sort of way that Ashley does it. However, we're not going to talk about all those wonderful coffees you do there. We'll put lots of links to the website. We're going to talk about instant now. I haven't had instant coffee in my house for years because it's just awful.
Yeah, in it.
Dreadful. I won't even have it in the house. Just won't. I don't care if anybody wants it. They're not having it. What do you feel about it? Because you're going to take it on, aren't you?
Yeah, I agree with you. Hate the stuff. It's rubbish.
Mm.
But it genuinely is. And I think that's what spurred us on, because I think some stats. So retail coffee in the UK, £1.4 billion a year, retail sales. Instant coffee is 75% of it still, which is about £900 million.
Ooh, despite all the new pods and all that stuff.
Despite all the new pods. Okay. And so, listen, people are drinking it. And what struck me early on was, you know, you walk down the supermarket aisle and there's disruptor brands and innovators everywhere except that coffee aisle.
Is that because they're so big and strong, these brands?
Yeah.
Muscling everybody out. And
I think
particularly on price.
It's a lot to do with that. I don't know. It's a bit weird that no one's really gone after it. I mean, saying that, there are other brands that aren't, you know, aren't owned by Nestle and JD and things like that, but it's dominated by them. And then I realized that there was a massive gap in terms of quality. There's room to improve. Now, there's a limit to what you can do with soluble coffee and the volatile aromatic.
So before you go on, if you don't mind me interrupting, so what is instant coffee? We're mostly used to the tiny little freeze-dried stuff, aren't we?
Little granules.
Little granules.
Yeah.
What is it?
There's 3 different types. There's spray-dried, which looks like a fine powder.
Yeah.
Some brands are like that. They got agglomerated, which looks like really rough, bumpy things, which is the really cheap stuff at the bottom of the shelf.
Right.
And then there's freeze-dried, which looks like a little bit more crystallized like ours. Freeze-dried is the highest quality. So I'll talk about that because the other two, there's quite a lot of process in it. But essentially, all they do is, to make freeze-dried coffee, they brew coffee. Just normal coffee, roasted fairly normally, a bit like that first one, we kind of a light roast. Grind it quite coarsely as if you're about to brew it in a cafetière and then put it in these enormous extraction towers, which are essentially giant percolators. It pumps water through the coffee mass at different temperatures and different pressures. And the idea is to extract as many soluble solids out of the coffee as possible. And then basically it begins a journey of dehydration. But the thing with freeze drying is, as the name might suggest, is that you're doing it at very low temperatures. So yeah. You use a process called sublimation, which is when you go from a solid straight to a gas without it being liquid in between. And you're able to do that when it's at, you know, minus 50 degrees or minus 60 degrees. So it means that you're able to extract the water out of the coffee without heating it up and therefore damaging those really volatile kind of compounds that give it the aroma and the flavor. So it's
literally dehydrated.
It's dehydrated brewed coffee. Yeah, and there's nothing added. And I think people sometimes have a misconception that something's been added to it or something's been done with it, but it is actually just like a dehydrator. It's just
so then there's no reason why it should be rubbish then.
No, I mean, you lose a little bit. I'm not going to lie. You know, once you do that process, it's never going to have the taste of fresh brewed coffee, but it can be a lot better. And you know what? The thing is, because the stuff inside an instant coffee jar doesn't resemble coffee beans. There's no need to use premium coffee beans that you and I would recognize in a specialty roastery. So they do use the broken stuff, the damaged stuff, the really cheap stuff. About 3.5 kilos of coffee, green coffee, goes into every kilo of instant coffee. So if you think about the economy of it, it's in your interest to use really cheap coffee to start with. We don't do that. We use very, very high quality coffee to start with, the sort of stuff you'd be happy to drink in a cafetière. Yields are slightly lower, so we're in that sort of 3.5 kilo to a kilo ratio.
So you're going through the same process that they would do, because that is the process. But the quality right at the front end is different.
That's right. We want to raise the bar. I mean, you know, our whole motto is like, you should have your coffee your way, not the way. And the way I see it is that people who drink instant coffee, who like the convenience of it, deserve something better.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here to do. It's just to put a brand on the shelf that's engaging. It's doing a bit more sustainability than anyone else. It's tasting better than anyone else. Yep. And we've got the flavoured coffee thing, which is our party trick, which I can talk about a little bit later.
So, Ash, do you agree with what Will was saying there in terms of the, you know, the sort of coffee, instant coffee sort of?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think
it's a different one. We are talking about different things.
World. But I think I don't know quite as much about it as well with instant, for example. I mean, obviously all the processes and stuff, but actually the economics of it are very, very different.
Of course.
But I think, you know, the reality is a lot of people still do drink, you know, instant coffee. And it might be that the sort of mid to younger generation will be the ones to actually, you know, break out of the norm of 40 years of drinking the same thing. And it's like anything, as companies get taken over time and time and time again, it's the same old, cost is taken out, production is made a little bit more, you know, economic.
Yeah. Gets worse and worse. Maybe.
I just think it's so exciting, though. I just think there is such a culture at the moment. I mean, last week's show, we had some guys in making ready meals, and it's so, we are living in a time where people are busy and they don't have a lot of time, and they don't always have time to make a cafetière while they're trying to get their kids' shoes on to get them out the door to school or whatever they're doing. And actually, the idea, because I didn't even know you guys were doing this, that instant coffee is actually being made good is so exciting.
But don't you think there's two things there, which is what we talked about last week, is that you've got the I've got no time, I need this, and I need it now sort of thing.
Yeah.
Try and get the best quality you can with that. And then there's a lot of I need to treat myself. I've got some quiet time now. I'm going to make myself a beautiful, I'm going to take time. I'm going to make myself a beautiful cup of coffee. Really enjoy it. You know, and you've got those two things.
Absolutely. It's like, almost like your weekend coffee is Ashley's, where you've taken trouble to really sit and brew it. Or maybe your first one of the day, you've done beautifully because you had a bit more time. And then throughout the day, I've got a meeting, I've got a Zoom call starting in 2 minutes. I just want a coffee.
But I think that they're all great points. And I think what you were saying at the beginning, Ash, is exactly what we say as well. It's just that we're applying it to a different consumer. So you're absolutely right. If you want to buy, you know, Sage or any other brand of, you know, coffee machine and subscribe to a specialty coffee roastery and do that, more power to you. I also run a specialty coffee roastery called Roastworks, which is my side hustle, as well as Little. So I'm second generation coffee roaster. I've been in coffee all my life practically. I know what I'm doing, so to speak, and I can see both worlds. What I'm with Little's, what the whole point is that most consumers, 90 or 95% of them, won't want to invest in that equipment. They won't want to even have a, only 25% of households in the UK own a cafetiere. Come on. It's not even a grinder, just a flipping cafetiere. Mm. So it's like, you know, we're losing the battle by only focusing on specialty coffee that you have to prepare in that way.
You're almost what you're doing is getting people on the first rung of the ladder.
That's it. Yeah. Give them something better.
Would you believe we're running out of time?
Uh-huh.
So we want some of your coffee.
Okay.
So go and boil the kettle.
Okay.
And we'll have some.
All right, here's the deal. So this isn't a coffee tasting like Ash did. That was really great.
That.
This is just me making you a coffee. So how do you normally have it?
All right, so I'm going to have milk and I'm one sugar, please.
Okay, I've got three flavours to choose from. Vanilla, hazelnut, or caramel.
Hazelnut. Oh, no. Caramel. Caramel.
I want caramel.
Oh, I'll have hazelnut.
Did I mention my specialist coffee machine that I brought with me today?
What,
it's actually one of yours.
Your spoon?
My spoon.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Right, go and boil that kettle.
So hazelnut for you, Susie.
Yeah.
AJ?
Yeah.
Can I have the caramel, please?
Yeah. You've got to have vanilla then. Sorry.
I've got to go hazelnut.
All right, I'll have vanilla. I'll have vanilla. So we've got one each.
Yeah, vanilla's going to...
I won't make one of each.
Oh, the aroma's coming off as you're making it. It's amazing.
Yeah, so we...
So you're adding stuff in there. You're adding stuff in there as well, are you?
Yeah, so flavouring. So all the flavours come from the natural world, so we don't use any artificial flavours. So, you know, again, just leading with quality. But there's a whole thing I could go on for hours about sustainability. And did you want the vanilla or the hazelnut?
I'm going for vanilla because Ash has pushed me out of the hazelnut.
Ash, would you like some sugar in your coffee?
No, thanks.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is sugar a bad thing to put in coffee?
Me,
does it just alter the profile?
Depends what you're putting it in there for. I mean, it's habit a lot of the time.
Mm.
Mostly for me, it's like I haven't really eaten for a good few hours. It's just to keep me perked up.
But you know what? If you had two sugars 3 times a day,
yeah,
that's 30 grams of sugar. That's 200 grams a week. That's 900.
Is that a bad thing?
It's a bad thing.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Well, it's all who you believe, right?
Yeah.
But a bag of sugar a month in its unrefined. In unrefined form, which is like most
people. I'm 62, though. I managed to get to 62.
Yeah, but it'd be great to get to like 102, wouldn't it?
No.
Well, probably not.
82 is fine.
82 will do, will it?
Yeah.
Weirdly, some of the
quality of life.
The skinniest people I know have sugar in their tea and coffee. Yeah. What is that? Is that because they then don't need to eat any actual food?
Exactly.
But it's a lot of it is habit.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Of making something better or palatable.
I think that thing you're saying at the beginning of the programme is adjusting it till you get it how you want because it's not good enough in the first place.
Or it's too bitter.
You just told me off about sugar. You've just stuck a chocolate in your mouth. Come on.
One of these chocolates. I can have two of these for one chocolate hobnob.
The whole point with this is that we're not trying to highlight the intrinsic flavours of the special beans. This is about a drink. You're working from home.
That is decent enough
to
go, wow, that's better than
normal. And one thing I would like to say on air is
what do you reckon?
You know, you've got that cost of living crisis now as well.
And,
you know, people are sort of looking to make cutbacks. And, you know, there's a statistic.
That's good with some sugar in it.
See, I never have milk or sugar. I'm full purist. You know, it's an anaerobic crazy thing at home. But
I will have an espresso, though. I'll have a really strong, nice espresso.
But with this, I always put milk and sugar in it. It's like a hot chocolate. It's like I just look at it differently. I look at it as a different beverage than you know, V60, all that sort of stuff. They're two different things. But in the week, I drink a lot of this, whereas at the weekend, I have you know, the ritual. And I think that's how a lot of people, I think, do it. And
so we've got French vanilla, cream caramel, and hazelnut.
Rich hazelnut.
Your views on this? You've got rich hazelnut in front of
I've
you.
I've got rich hazelnut,
I mean,
you don't have to say you like it.
It's
no, it's okay.
Don't worry, it's not.
Do you know what? I think how you just described it was it's a different drink, isn't it? How do I describe it? I would say with milk in, like I have, I'd say it's more malty and biscuity. You know, like the biscuits with the little cows on? Malted milk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really reminds me of. I'm a chef, so it always goes back to food. Some way, but it's a comforting, malty, coffee, nutty.
Yeah.
hot drink.
Yeah, and I think we need to sometimes forget the coffee bit. And I think there's this...
this is a beverage.
Yeah, and I think the snobs out there, you know, we're here as a brand to stick that two fingers up at the snobs and say, look, they don't get to define what you like. You know, you have it your way, not the way. And I think, you know, I think... sometimes we sort of reflect what the rest of the coffee industry is doing on how you should drink your coffee, and I think that's wrong. And I think a lot of people, I watch how people drink coffee and they don't abide by those same sort of behaviours as the specialty.
I mean, I have one really nice cup of coffee a day and I really enjoy it. Mm. That's my big treat, you know, make it beautifully and have one decent coffee a day. Really enjoy that.
But you've got, another statistic which I sort of led us really was we did some research last year and found that 48% of Gen Zs and millennials are interacting with flavoured coffee out of home regularly in Starbucks and Costa and places. And so now, especially with Cozy Lives, hashtag Cozy Lives, and everyone having less money in their pockets, you know, there's a real sort of,
I get near that?
Yeah, at home, exactly.
Spending £3.50.
That's it. And I think that's where flavoured coffee suddenly has a kind of renaissance, I think, because I think, you know, there are lots of people drinking it, they're just not drinking it at home. So I think that's, again, where we sort of come in help.
Yeah. Well, unbelievably, we've come to the end of the programme. I don't think you said anything, sorry. I was too excited.
You were very excited.
Yeah,
it's so fine. I
didn't give you a word in edgewise.
Loving just listening to all of it, because coffee is an area, I don't ever judge coffee, it's not an area that I'm an expert in at all, and it's fascinating. I've really enjoyed hearing both of the ways you guys are talking about it.
Me too. So Ashley Palmer Watts of Artisan Coffee Co. Where do people get hold of your stuff?
All online. Artisancoffeeco.com.
We will make sure there's loads and loads of links. And a real range that you have there.
Yeah, Ash. Massive.
All sorts of different ways
massive
of drinking
range
it.
Of products, different ways to drink it. Doesn't matter how you brew, really.
Yeah. But very interesting and beautiful quality. So highly recommend that. And Will Little of Little's Coffee and the Little family, who've been in coffee for a couple of generations. Very, very distinctive branding. Is it retail or can we get it online or what's the way to go?
Both. So Tesco, Sainsbury's, Waitrose, Ocado are the main
stockists. That's easy enough to do.
But online as well, wearelittles.com.
So I would say if you are doing your weekly shop or your every other day shop, have a look in the old freeze-dried coffee aisle.
Let's and give Nestle a bloody nose.
Yes,
yeah. And if you, I mean, the branding's so distinctive, isn't it?
I love the branding.
Give it a try. How much is a little jar?
They're about £3.
£3. See, if you spend one of those in Starbucks.
That's what I'm saying.
How many can I get out of there?
20.
20, there you go.
Just
bargain.
For the bougie colours.
Bargain. Bargain, bargain, bargain.
Awesome.
Yes. Do you want to say anything? I haven't allowed you to speak.
No, it's fine. I've had a lovely time.
Have you? You ought to present the programme next week because I feel guilty now. Sorry about that. So thanks again to Will Little of Little's Coffee and Ashley Palmer Watts of Artisan Coffee Co.
Thank you.
Go and seek them out immediately. Thanks again to AJ.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, you didn't do anything. Do you get paid? No. Well, you've been listening to the Food Talk show and we're syndicated to lots of radio stations across the UK and further afield. A third of our listeners are in America.
Apparently. Yes.
Yes. Hello, American people. And we will be back next week, of course. And we do hope you have a jolly good week. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.